So we got off in this conversation, and since how we're here, we might as well record it and just enumerate a little bit about some things, because it's very important that we begin to understand that God is in the business, and I hate to use that word, but it's true, of changing the way we think about everything. And only God can consummate the thought when it comes to how it works in, by the Holy Ghost or in the progression of the Word of God. So only God can do that. Man cannot do it for himself. Only God can do it. Who's the author of the Word of God? God. That's good to know, isn't it? So I don't author the Word of God myself. That's impossible. Only God can author the Word of God. And so how do I know that the Word of God is being authored in me? Because I know my Father. I know who my Father is. This is the important thing about a lot of things that we've been talking about here of late, and that is that in the prophecy of sonship, it was prophesied to everyone that you are a son of God. Now, that doesn't mean, or you're going to be a son of God. Let me say it that way, more importantly, because until you know your Father, you will not be a son. Does that make sense to anyone? I hope so. Because if you don't know who your Father is, then how do you know you're a son? But when you know the Father, you now know who? The Son. That's Scripture. And actually, that's where we're going to be this morning when we get there. So we've been talking a little bit how manifestation works, and I was testifying to you just a few minutes ago about some things that began to happen in my life because of being obedient and submitting to the Word of God that was being preached. Now, I will say this, that a lot of things that we have talked about in the last couple of weeks when it comes to laying a foundation, those are the things that were being established in my thought pattern from infancy as a newborn child of God. So when we talk about those things, if I'm laying a foundation and I lay it this way, we talked about this a few weeks ago. The first foundational stone in your foundation is repentance. Because if you can't hear the Word of God that brings you to repentance, you cannot be water baptized. So John the Baptist, when he came on the scene, he began to preach the Word of God, and he said it this way, repent, correct? Repent and be baptized, and you shall see Jesus. If you don't repent and get baptized, you cannot see Jesus. John's whole ministry was to open the mind and the eyes to see the Christ. That was his call. God raised him up so that as he preached that word of truth, it would reveal Jesus Christ. It would reveal the Son of God. This is important. So when we talk about repentance, we're talking about hearing the word of truth that opens the mind to receive Jesus. And if I'm repenting, then there has to be a direction to the repentance. And so the next thing is then, if I'm going to repent, I'm going to do it toward God. And if it's toward God, then it's in faith. Because now, faith comes by what? Hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. That's Romans 10:17. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. So did John just speak whatever he wanted to speak? Or did John speak what he heard to speak from the Father? Let's turn to 1 John just for a moment. Or not 1 John, I'm sorry. The first chapter in the Gospel of John. How about that? Say it better. So John in his Gospel says it this way. But John the Baptist heard it the same way. How do I know that? It's because John came, the word of God that John preached came from who? Came from God. John, who wrote the gospel, the apostle John, he got his word from where? Heaven. He got it from God. So did John the Baptist and John the Apostle, did they both know their Father who art in heaven? Listen. So the word that you're hearing even now this morning, is it from the Father that is in heaven? So is God raising you up to be the same as he raised up John the Baptist and John the Apostle? The same mind, the same word. That's why the Bible is so awesome when it begins to say things like Jesus the same yesterday, today, and forever. Jesus was the same for Adam, and Jesus is the same for John the Revelator. So from Genesis to Revelation, we have the same Jesus from beginning to end. Make sense to you? I hope so. So John opens up, the Apostle John, when he writes his gospel, he opens his gospel up this way. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. So who's John testifying of? He's testifying of the Word of God, obviously, but he knows that that Word of God is who? He knows that that Word of God is Jesus, which we wrote on the board last week, correct? The same. Did you hear that? The same was in the beginning with God. So the Word was the same in the beginning with the Father. That's what we've been saying, correct? So the Word was the same with God in the beginning as it is now. That Word has not changed. It is the same. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. So the Word created everything. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. So, before we go on too much further then, the thing I want you to understand is that when we talk about the book of Genesis and God creating. We've said these things before, correct? In the beginning, so now Genesis is saying the same thing John the Apostle said. John the Apostle said, in the beginning was the Word. The book of Genesis says, in the beginning, God. And we have to be able to, by the Holy Ghost, by the Spirit of Truth, we got to begin to put some things together. Because God is quickening the truth in you to begin to bridge in you all thought that frames the mind of Jesus Christ. That's important to understand and to know. So this same that was in the beginning is the same God that created all things. So it says this, in the beginning God created heaven and earth, and the earth was out form and void, and darkness was on the face of the deep. So in John, right, in the Gospel of John, he said, what came into the darkness? Light. So here, God forms heaven and earth, and the earth is without form, and it's dark. So God speaks a word called Jesus Christ into the darkness, and all of a sudden, great things begin to happen. And in this great thing that begins to happen, you begin to know Jesus Christ. So Genesis is not about the forming of the physical plane or this earth, this planet. Genesis is about light coming into the darkness and that light beginning to shine to reveal to you who you are in the Father. Thus we call the Bible the story of God. Because now all of a sudden you're being awakened. What happened to Adam when he sinned? What? He went to sleep. He died, just like God said. If you eat of the tree, and we're not going to go in and read all that this morning, because you're more than welcome to go read it for yourself. When Adam ate of the tree, God told him not to eat of. He said that if you eat of that tree, Adam, you're going to die. Adam did not comprehend death because he had never he didn't understand death. In order to know death, what would Adam have had to have done first? He would have had to believe God. If he'd have believed God, then he would have come to that place where he would have understood death. And that's basically what I'm saying this morning, is that if I will believe God, if I will submit to God, if I will do what God is saying to do, everything changes. Adam did not believe his father. Adam believed his own thoughts. And he did what he wanted to do. He did not do what the father told him to do. So, back then to what I was testifying of just a few minutes ago before we started recording. If I submit to God and I begin to believe and follow what I know the Father is telling me by the Spirit of truth, will that change everything for me? Yes, it's inevitable. I don't care if you're talking about finding a job. I don't care if you're in a position in a company and you stay with that company. Is it going to change the way you think? Yes. Is it about the job or is it about Jesus Christ? It's about Jesus Christ. Always. Always. So I can't testify for other people, but I can certainly testify for myself. Is that all right? Everybody's good with that? I will tell you this. That so when we came into Living Fellowship, I was definitely arguing in my mind about the Word of God. Because even the things that I had laid foundationally in my mind, they were beginning to change. They were taking on a greater scope of thought than I ever thought possible. Now, is that good or bad? Oh, that's awesome. But does that mean that, okay, here we go. I've got to change again? Is that what that means? Yes. Change is good. Just so y'all know. Change is good. Very good. So, and actually, we instead of calling it change, can't we call it growth? Because if I'm growing up, I'm changing. So if I was to read, if we went back into 2 Corinthians 3 and 18, it would talk about it. So before I go much further than that, let me just go there and read that for you. Now the Lord is that Spirit. And where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's liberty. But we all, with open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image. So what's being changed? But what is being changed? Our mind. In other words, it's the mind of God that is causing my perception of everything else to change. So even my perceptions then, outwardly, are being changed. How could they not be changed? My mind's being changed so my perceptions can be changed. Now, all of a sudden, even the consciousnesses that exist within my thoughts, which are many, are being changed. Because I have a consciousness of the physical planet, do I not? Do I also have, hasn't Christ also built in me a consciousness of a terrestrial plane in which the spirit of man lives and moves and has his being? Yes. And has he also not, by the Spirit of truth, brought me into a place where I have a consciousness of heaven. And in heaven, there are images in heaven that I'm just not familiar with. Now, in the terrestrial plane, I'm just now beginning to become very conscious of what the spirit of man, how it lives and moves and has its being in the heart that God has set in me. Correct? Isn't that where you all are? I mean, recently, we all thought the world was outward. But we now know by the spirit of truth that the world that God talks about is inward. So Jesus, when he comes on the scene, he takes you from being outward in your perceptions, separates you by the very word of truth, and brings you inwardly to where you can begin to understand how you think and move and have your being in your world. That's the work of Jesus Christ. And in that process of the truth of God working in you, he begins to set your affection on things in heaven and not on things of the earth, so that your mind begins to be separated from who you think you are, so that you can begin to understand who you are in the mind of the Father. And that is an exceptional work of God. And it's real. It's probably the realest thing you're ever going to embrace at any time in your life. And whether you're 5 years old or 105 years old, the word of truth can bring you to that place where it begins to separate the thoughts of men and bring every thought into the obedience of Jesus Christ. Now that is what I call a miracle. That is what I call the power of God. That is what causes us to separate and lay down our life for our friend. Okay? So, I do believe in outward manifestation when it comes to the mind being changed by the Spirit of God, and it's changing my perceptions inwardly so that it changes everything. I don't care what consciousness I'm in. Every consciousness is being changed by the power of the Word of God so that I see and understand how God sees it. Wouldn't you rather have understanding or wisdom based upon the guy that wrote the book rather than from yourself or some other man? I would rather have it directly from the guy that wrote the book and created everything. That's where I'd rather get it. So when it comes to the working of money, God can work it, but he works it differently than you expect. Is everybody with me in that? I mean, he totally works it differently than you will expect. That's why I testified to you about in the worst of times. And that's how we look at our condition, right? When we, by our decisions, we look at things and we go, well, God, you can't ask me to do that now. I mean, that's the judgment of man. You can't ask me to do that now. No, you're not. If that's how we're thinking, it's like God saying to you, you only say that because you don't understand. I'm going to bring you into the understanding and take that away from you. Take that kind of thinking out of you. That's how God works. I don't care if you're raising children. I don't care if you're buying houses. I don't care if you're buying lands. I don't care what the subject is that you can come up with. Healing diseases. It just doesn't matter to me. Getting flu vaccines. I don't care. But when it comes to the Word of God and the mind of Christ working in you to bring about a perfect perception of all things, that is what we're submitting to. That's what we're giving ourselves over to where God works. Amen? So I'm going to come to the 15th chapter of the book of John this morning. And knowing that these things, I mean, these are the two beginning principles of the doctrines of Christ. That's what repentance and faith toward God are. Two very beginning principles. John the Baptist preached them, and when Christ came on the scene, in order for Christ to come on the scene for them to understand who he was, what did they have to partake in? repentance and faith toward God. In other words, they had to have an expectation that the Messiah was for to come. So, all you know, the marvelous thing about that is that all of Israel, according to the scriptures, all of Israel came out to hear John. And when they came out to hear John, John said, "And there he is, the Lamb of God." And all of a sudden they're like, "What? What do you mean the Lamb of God? We came out to hear you, John." "No, you did not come out to hear me. You came out to hear me tell you about Jesus Christ. That's why you came out. It's the same with you here today. You come here so that you can hear the truth of the Word of God that sets your mind on the Son whom we call Jesus Christ. Even in prophecy where it says that you are the Son of God, that sonship only becomes born in you when your mind is turned to the Lord to know Jesus Christ. Are you with me? In other words, the Son of God is not you. The Son of God is known because of Jesus Christ. It's just the way it is. Any questions about that? Online? Anywhere? Anyone? Because the work of God is to definitely get him off of ourselves. The more we look at ourselves or focus on ourselves, what's going to take place? Where are we going to be? We're always going to be focused on ourselves. And I'll tell you this. When we focus on ourselves, who is it that we always see? No, it's not who you see. Man of sin. If you focus on yourself, you will always see the man of sin. And if you always see the man of sin, then what kind of life are you going to lead? Yeah, a life of condemnation. And if you see condemnation in your life all the time, then are you seeing Jesus Christ? No, you are not. Because for God so loved the world that he sent his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth on him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Correct? He didn't judge the world or love the world to condemn the world, but that through Christ the world might be what? Saved. So your world is in the process of being saved. And it's being saved by repentance and turning towards God every thought. So repentance and faith toward God it's eternal. It'll always be present in you because Christ is always present in you. And so the workings of these things will always and forever be in you by Jesus Christ. And that's awesome. That is so awesome. So Jesus says this in the 15th chapter. But I'm going to tell you this. The 15th chapter speaks of the true disciple. What's a true disciple? We know that if we're disciples, according to the 8th chapter of the book of John, what does it say? If you continue in my word. So a disciple is one who does what? Continues in the word of God. In other words, a disciple is made by the Word of God. So when I believe the Word of God, I'm being formed by the Word of God to become a disciple. I had a good friend of mine. He was an architect, a very good architect. His name was Dennis. But Dennis was a disciple of Frank Lloyd Wright. In other words, Dennis, when he was 17 years old and had graduated high school, had the opportunity, he wanted to be an architect. He had an opportunity to go work for Frank Lloyd Wright at Frank Lloyd Wright's Arizona home, and it was actually Frank Lloyd Wright Architectural School in Arizona. I don't remember the name of it. There is a name to it, but I don't remember what it is. Anyway, he had the opportunity to go work in the Frank Lloyd Wright School of Architecture and learn how to be an architect based upon the teachings of Frank Lloyd Wright. And so he did. And he studied under Frank Lloyd Wright for, I think it was like 4 to 5 years. And then he went to Purdue University and got his degree in architecture, which at the same time, while he was doing it, he was still discipling in the school of Frank Lloyd Wright architecture. So anyway, I say all that is because in order to be a disciple of Frank Lloyd Wright, what had to happen? What did he have to give himself to? He had to give himself over to the teachings of Frank Lloyd Wright to be a Frank Lloyd Wright disciple. So now, if we're talking about being a disciple to Jesus Christ, what is it that we have to submit to in order to become a disciple of Jesus? The teachings of Jesus Christ. And if we think that we don't have to discipline ourselves or be disciplined of Christ to become a disciple, that's where we err in who we are, because we do. That's what a disciple is. A disciple is a disciplined one. In other words, he knows and is beginning to learn and understand the language of God. That's what he is. Jesus says this, "I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me," now this is awesome. So now if you're a disciple, there's something that's in you that's beginning to happen. Okay? "Every branch in me that bears not fruit, he takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, he purges it, that it may bring forth more fruit." So, Jesus says, "I am the vine." And you are what? What's a disciple? He's a branch. But that branch has to be attached to what? The vine. The minute the branch is separated from the vine, what happens to the branch? It dies. So is it part of the vine still? No, it's not. It's separated. What caused it to be separated? Yeah, it didn't bear fruit. In other words, it didn't agree with the vine. Hear me. Well, we think it is, but is what he's saying here is that there is no way you can be a disciple of mine and not bear righteous fruit. And if you think that you can be my disciple and not bear righteous fruit, I'm going to tell you right now, my husbandman, who is my dad, he's going to come into the vineyard and he's going to separate everything that does not bear fruit and he's going to purge it. What does it mean to be purged? Yeah, and what else? If it's purged, what has to hit it? Fire. My God is a consuming fire. He purges it by fire. In other words, it's cut off, separated, and burned, that it might be purged. Wow. Well, that's a harsh God. No, that's a perfect God. In other words, what we should know as a disciple is that the Father is not going to allow anything other than the thought that's in the vine that bears great fruit to be allowed in the vine. Makes sense to me. So when I go to heaven, or as I assimilate to heaven, however you want to say it, do I get to take my own fruit with me or only God's fruit? How do I get to go? Only God's. Only God's. I cannot take my own thought into the kingdom of heaven. It's not going to go. The Bible says that flesh and blood cannot enter into the kingdom of heaven. So any thought that is not of God cannot go into heaven. That's why God sent his Son Jesus Christ into the earth to teach you in the earth that only the thoughts from heaven, only the thoughts from God, get to go back to God. Isn't that awesome? That's how much God loves you. That's why the Bible says that God first loved you. And how do we know? Because he sent his son, Jesus Christ. That's how we know. Now listen to this. Now if you're a true disciple. So if you're a true disciple, what's the first thing? Bear fruit, right? So if I'm a true disciple, I'm going to bear fruit. If I don't bear fruit, what's going to happen? Well, we don't need to write that. You can, huh? We're going to get cut off. And we have seen that happen. Even this here. That if we don't bear fruit, or if we think that we can bring something else in other than the truth, what happens? It gets cut off. And quickly. Now you are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. So, how we get cleaned? So how are we baptized? Okay? We know it's by water. But what's the water? It's the word of God. For we are clean, we are cleansed by the word of God. So, well, no, Pastor, when I got baptized, I got drowned in a tank. Yep, you did. Just so you all know. Listen to this. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, so that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word. So how are you baptized? You are baptized by the word of God. So even this morning, are you being baptized? Yes. So baptism, is it as effectual and as eternal as repentance and faith toward God? Yes. In fact, if it's not baptizing you, if the word of God is not baptizing you, it's not the word of God, or at least you're not hearing it. So then can your mind be changed? No. It cannot. So then he goes on to say, if you abide in me and I in him, excuse me, he that abides in me and I in him, the same brings forth much fruit. For without me, what can you do? Without me, we'll end here today. Without Jesus Christ, you can do nothing. So back to how we started out this whole discussion this morning about my expectation when it comes to outward manifestation. Without Jesus, you can do, and you can take this word any way you want to. Without or without. Not possessing. If I'm without, I don't possess it. Or if I go out with it, I can do nothing. So without Jesus, I don't care if my mind goes outward. Without Jesus, I can't do anything. Or without possessing Jesus, or being possessed of Jesus, I can do nothing. However you want to look at it, it still works the same. Without Jesus, I can do nothing. Without Jesus, there is nothing. Because by Jesus Christ, everything that was made, or everything that is made, was made. Are you with me? So these things become inevitable. It's times like this where I could stand in front of you and I could go on all day long. It's just not fathomable. But these things are true. These things are the most foundational building concepts from the Word of God that you'll ever embrace, and it'll change. Listen, you cannot come into the perceptions by the Holy Ghost without laying a foundation in your life. It is not possible. So we have heard a lot of, we've sought a lot of revelation, have we? Listen, revelation means nothing without the foundation of the Word of God being established in you. That's why Jesus, first and foremost, began to establish the foundation of the house of God. Even in the Old Testament, before they could build the house of God, What did they have to do? They had to lay a foundation. And we can go into the book of Ezra and Nehemiah, we can see it. We can go into David and we can see it when Solomon began to build the Lord's house. It doesn't matter where we look. We know that God's going to lay a foundation. That foundation is going to stand sure. And that foundation is going to let the house of God stand as an ensign before all men, all people, everywhere, forever. Isn't that awesome to know today? God bless you and thank you for listening today.